podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Today's show is brought to you by Surfshark VPN. Now, more than ever, our internet reliance is rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, keep in touch with loved ones, and even watch podcasts like this one. See, makes sense, it's linked into the podcast. We prefer to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. That's where Surfshark VPN comes in. They protect your information by encrypting all the data you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because the content from streaming services can be restricted based on what country you're in. So that could be Netflix, Amazon Prime, even some of the highlights on Twitter. You click on it, not available in your country. Well, Surfshark helps you out with that by simply changing your location. Also, you go abroad, you want to keep watching iPlayer, you want to keep watching British stuff, you can do. Change your location back to where you've left and you can keep watching all of that. Right now, Surfshark has an amazing offer on by clicking the link in the description, using the code Paddock, sit there, look, Paddock, like Stretford Paddock, that's why we use the word Paddock. Paddock, you'll get 83% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you're getting fully protected. 83% off, that's basically all of it off. 83%, plus you'll get 3 months for free, and Surfshark offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use the link in the description, use code Paddock for 83% off, 3 months free, and 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't get better than that.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. Joining me is Joe Smith. What are you laughing at?
No, I'm just excited, mate.
Yeah. Well, you're not allowed to be excited.
Oh.
And also, I'm only kidding, you can if you want. And also, James Young, how are we doing, Younger?
I'm good, yeah. Great to be back on the channel.
Yeah, it feels like I've not seen you for a little while. Yeah. You keeping well?
I am.
Doing all the media stuff?
Still doing all the stuff.
When you got here, I thought, what amount of layers of coats is he going to take off? And what obscure football shirt is he going to reveal? What is it? What have
it's
you got
today? China. I'm not a huge fan of Sports Direct, but they did have a great offer on, and they basically got a massive sale on loads of football shirts. So I got this and a very nice Kaiser Chiefs shirt for 30 quid together. Yeah. So good value.
Lovely. With that sort of sale, I predict a riot.
Nice
Kaiser Chiefs shirt. But they were actually named after the football club.
Yeah, they were, weren't they? Very good. Yeah.
Cool. Mm. Great start to the show.
The old Amakochi.
What are we going to be talking about today, Jake?
We're going to be talking about Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, never a dull moment with old CR7. Yeah, I was going to talk about him, what went on against Middlesbrough, and whether we have to start asking ourselves some serious questions about him. Also, Ralph Ragnick's been speaking to the press ahead of the Burnley game, so we'll be looking at what he's had to say for himself. So get involved in the comments and the chat. Let us know what you think about any of those subjects or none of them. The man says James Young or James Acaster. You love all that, don't you?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, especially when people come up to me and say in person when I'm selling fanzines.
It's
just puts the cherry on top of the cake, really. Great job.
What fanzines do you sell?
We can do all this at the end.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can do it now and at the end if you want. for people that might not be around at the end that are here now.
Jay, I'll tell you how this podcast is going to go. Yeah. We'll do this at the end.
Yeah. Soz.
Come on, James.
United we stand, right?
There you go, you see.
Thank you. Every home match. Buy it.
It's not hard, is it? There you go. I'll tell you what, we'll do it at the end as well. Okay. There you go. Double whammy. Liam Sheesby says, Joe, broken out of a French jail.
Yeah.
We. Hey. Funnily enough, what's in your mug?
Hey, so what for? I could say it's we. Anyway, we'll start with the press conference because it's only finished about, 2 hours ago. Ralph Rangnick was fielding questions from the media ahead of the Burnley game. He was asked about creating chances. We created a lot of chances against Middlesbrough, didn't we, even?
I mean, that was the frustrating thing because everyone around me in the safe standing bit was basically saying, United need to get another goal here because everyone just knew that Middlesbrough were going to score. It felt inevitable, that was the thing, especially when they were coming forward.
Inevitable.
It was like, oh, it's 1-0. And especially because United just had so many chances in the second half. It was like, oh, they've scored and they're going to win. It just felt like it was their day, especially, you know, in extra time.
Yeah.
And it was just dragging on and on and on. And it's like, oh, it's not happening, this, is it?
Joe.
Yeah.
We were talking on the preview, which will be out in the morning, and which we recorded before the press conference, just so you know that. Yeah, we did create a lot of chances, didn't we?
Yeah.
How would you look at that? Do you look at it and go, okay, let's not get too carried away with the disappointment of getting knocked out? Or do you look at it as it's still not good enough and it's all rubbish and I hate football?
The second one.
Right, okay.
Because whilst there are some positives to take, The only positive that matters from a cup game is did you go through to the next round?
Yeah.
And maybe it will help us in our league form. But like, we don't have to. The thing with being going for the top four, yeah. if we were fighting for a title, that sort of result, you can go, right, okay, we're at the cup, we can focus on that. You know, and to win a league title, you have to win maybe 15 of your next 18 games or whatever. To finish top four, we have to win half of our games and draw the other half and lose the other quarter. Like, we don't have to be that good between now and the end of the season to finish top four.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the better we are, the more it helps. But like, really, for the FA Cup, all we had to do was get through. That's the only measure of success for the game.
No one remembers.
Doesn't matter how well you play.
No one remembers Reading at home or Sheffield United at home or all these crap games United have played in the FA Cup, let's be honest, in the early rounds over the past couple of years when they've mounted a run. As long as you win, it doesn't matter because it's the FA Cup. But that was the thing. When United won it under Van Gaal, the first game, I think it was the third round, they played Sheffield United and Rooney scored with a last-minute penalty. Mm. And it was a terrible game. It was awful. But because they went through, it didn't matter. And I think that's the thing with Ragnick this season. He's had a lot of opportunities, especially early on. He had that reasonably easy run of games that he should have done a lot better in. FA Cup against Middlesbrough, you're thinking, it's just a gimme this. You've got to win matches like that. Because even though United might have lost to Spurs in the next round, it just does him no favours. It does the team no favours. It's just not an ideal situation to put yourself in.
And also, in terms of how exciting it is to watch Man United for the rest of the season, that's one less trophy we can win now. We're not going to win anything in the Premier League. And we'll be sat here, you know, half celebrating finishing top four if that's what we get, or it'll be Europa League, or it'll be Europa Conference, depending on how bad the next 15 games are. The only thing we can win is the Champions League, and it's like, you know, having a decent performance against Middlesbrough that amounted to us getting knocked out doesn't help either of those things. So it's just, you know, it's just one of them, isn't it, where you just think it's so frustrating because we were quite good. But really, in the cup, that doesn't matter whatsoever.
We were good for the first half, though. I think extra time, especially.
Well, extra time
was
different,
just flat. And I think towards the end of the second half, when you've got so, especially the Fernandes chance like that, you know, if you don't put those away and Alanga as well towards the end, it's almost like, well, what do you expect is going to happen? Because if you just, it was so frustrating to watch it because it was just like United just kept on coming forward and they're creating the chances. But especially with Fernandes, again, like I was saying, it's just, I don't know.
Ralph Radnick had to say was, apart from playing together as a team in defence and improving and developing our defence work together, we invested some time in our offensive principles, and it showed in the game against West Ham and Middlesbrough, where we created numerous chances. Then goes on to say, I can't remember a game in the last couple of years where our team created so many chances, 30 shots on goal. In the end, it didn't lead to the result we wanted to get, but we dominated the game in most parts and we did well in creating those chances. I mean, is that a fair comment there from Ralph? Do you think he's actually...
We dominated the game. We were easily the better team. If that was like a simulated game and those chances get played out and the players taking those chances, you know, Bruno with that free goal, Alanga with the free header, Ronaldo with the penalty, if that gets simulated 100 times, I would say United win 90 plus.
Well, that's the thing, you know, with XG. You know, I'm sure United's XG would probably be a lot higher than Middlesbrough, but it doesn't matter because United didn't win. No one's looking back and going, United had a higher XG in that game. If you don't win, you don't win.
I agree, in the cup, that's all that matters. Yeah. But in terms of him saying, did we look better? I think we did play better. But
you're expected to against a Championship side.
Yeah, but we've seen in recent years that that's not always the case with United. Like, you know, we've been losing to relegation fodder for years. You know, we saw it last season with Sheffield United and, you know, dropping points all over the place. So, and Newcastle this season. So I don't think it's a gimme that we're going to batter a team in the playoff positions in the Championship. So, I don't know. It's just shit, though, isn't it?
That's the lowest I've felt leaving Old Trafford this season.
Is it? By a long way.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Liverpool game?
No. Okay. The only games I didn't go to this season was Liverpool, City and Newcastle. That was it. But the rest of them, I mean, that was up there for me with Everton. Games like Young Boys I didn't really care about because United were already through, so it's like, well, it doesn't matter. But there's been a lot like that. Wolves as well was another really bad one where you just leaving so flat, and especially when it's like that and it's pissing it down and it's really cold and it's like, it's just, especially, it was a Friday night as well. That's the thing with the FA Cup. Just like, this just a complete waste.
Well, weekend
ruined. The weekend now.
Yeah. Ruined, look at you.
Ruined it.
Remember Gary Neville said that to the Arsenal players. Look at you. Look at what you've done when that fan was crying. You've done that.
That.
Oh, yeah, when, they, what, when Arsenal played in the League Cup final, and it was at Chelsea or City, I think they were playing, and they were losing like 3-0 or whatever it was, and then there was an Arsenal fan, a young lad, crying in, on the sideline in the terraces, whatever, and Gary Neville was like, look at him, look at what you've done. You've done that, you Arsenal players.
Well done, enjoy the money.
Yeah, hope it makes you very happy. Hit that like button, let's get over at least 200 likes, we've only got about 82.
The issue is as well, right, after things like that, so obviously the sales for the mag are going to be terrible because it's like United have just been knocked out of the FA Cup. Yeah. And people treat you like you're like a high-vis, happy-to-help person, just come up to you and ask random things like, do you know where Eccles train station is? And I'm like, we've just
given Jay's number.
Yeah, just send them to
me. Knocked out the FA Cup, like, I'm not giving you directions to a train station.
If someone asks you where Eccles train station is, you'll tell him. Don't we start giving me all that, yeah?
Where is Eccles train station, Jay?
Near Eccles Town Centre.
I didn't know
obviously.
I had one.
Of course we've got a train station.
We?
Yeah, we. I am part of the Eccles Massive. Oh, yeah. We've got all sorts, we've got running water and everything.
Where do you associate yourself with most in Manchester, Jay? Because you've moved about a bit, haven't you?
I've lived in Urmston, I've lived in Pyneton, I've lived in Earlham, I've lived in Eccles. So all of the above.
You've lived on
depending on the situation.
If someone said, and a documentary where Jay Motti takes us back to his roots, where he grew up, where are you walking through the streets of, addressing the camera?
Pyneton, probably.
Nice.
That was from the age of 8 till 16. Yeah. But, you know, wherever
the,
suits me.
The hard line.
Wherever I lay my hat.
That's my home.
Did you wear hats?
I used to wear hats all the time, but I stopped wearing them in the late 90s.
Have you ever tried a bowler hat?
No, but I will be. But I want to try a trilby first.
The hard line, Urmston-Stretford border.
Yes.
Yeah.
I showed you when we went up to Munich, didn't we? Had the Urmston Reds, the worst banner ever. That's ever anyone's ever had. And we were so proud of ourselves.
Urmston's got a train station.
Of course it has.
Yeah.
Okay, and they've cut down on the amount of syringes around it last time I checked. Lee Otwood says, when we drew Athletic in the Champions League, I thought, okay, it's fine. We'll be in better form by then. But now that's fast approaching and not sure if we're improving week by week, which is worrying.
We definitely are improving. We are in better form now than we were when we drew Atletico, undoubtedly. Performance-wise, we definitely are.
No, I think so, yeah.
I think so. I think the only caveat I would add to that, I just feel with Middlesbrough, we've just got to be a little bit sort of mindful of the fact this was a Championship team. So I agree, we're better.
Yeah.
But
I'm thinking,
you know,
of the general trend, though, not just that game.
I think Burnley will be a good asset to have because the bottom of the league, they've been struggling. I will get on, we'll have to wait and see. What's that comment that you're just throwing there?
Yeah, what was that?
Something about Worksop.
Some sort of slander. Get it back up.
Snobbery.
Right, what are we talking about next, Jay?
Hang on a minute. Crypto Prince says, so Ronaldo's our top scorer and is single-handedly responsible for us being in the Champions League. Yep. In a squad filled by mediocrity, Ronaldo should be the last person Ragnick should consider dropping. We'll get to Ronaldo in a minute. I want to go through the rest of this press conference.
It says, Chris Strouther says, really sorry you're from Worksop, Joe, with a love heart. What's that meant to mean?
He's sorry that you're from Worksop.
He's just jealous.
Beautiful town, mate. Gateway to the Dukeries. Lincoln Canal runs
straight through
it.
What are the Dukeries?
Where the Dukes used to live.
Really?
Dickhead.
The gateway to the Dukeries. What's that mean?
Idiot. Hey? This guy, never been to Welbeck Abbey, mate.
No.
Never been to Clumber Park.
What's the gateway to the Dukeries? What does that mean?
Ever heard of Joe Root, cricket captain for England?
I met him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He went to Worksop College, which was a private school that no one in Worksop could afford to go to. It's people from Sheffield and neighbouring cities.
Do you know
cities.
What, right? You're just like a scouser. Banging on about how wonderful your town is.
I didn't say it's wonderful. I said it was the gateway to the Dukeries, mate.
That's a heady compliment.
Urmston don't have a football team. Worksop Town do.
What?
Yeah, it's the third oldest football team in
Urmston
history.
Don't have a football team?
Not a proper one.
What do you mean not a proper one?
Well, where are Urmston in the Northern Premier League?
I've no idea.
Worksop Town's got heritage, mate. The Tigers.
I'll have you know, I'm a Manchester United fan. I don't have a second team because, you know, I'm top red. Lingard and Cavani.
Didn't you used to coach a team?
Yeah, the works team in the business league. Right. That's not the same as having a second team.
Not only has he got a second team, he's on the payroll for another team. Very weird.
Actually, you're a real supporter of the Trafford Soccer Dome, not Manchester United.
I used to work and play there, and I met my lady friend there as well. So, you know, big part of my life, the Soccer Dome.
Soccer Dome.
Has a lot to answer for.
Isn't it JJB that had the naming rights?
It was JJB, and if you're a certain age, you know, like you call Hope Hospital? Well, I call Hope Hospital, even though it's
Salford Royal Foundation.
Yeah, if you're a certain age, you'll call the Soccer Dome JJB. Mm. Anyway, Lingard and Cavani will be involved against Burnley. Rangnick says they're both available and will both be part of the squad for tomorrow's game at Burnley. Both are top professionals. Both have been training well. He then goes on to say about Lingard, which is what we all want to know about. With regards to Jesse, I have a very good relationship with him. He knows I would have been willing to let him go at least until the issue with Mason came up. He mentioned some personal issues. We have to look forward now. There are no problems whatsoever between myself and Jesse and vice versa. I'm very happy to have him in the squad and he'll be in the squad for tomorrow night's game. Would you play Jesse Lingard tomorrow?
No.
Would you, James?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not sure why United kept him in the summer, to be honest with you, because it was clear that he was going to get more games at West Ham. It was clear that he was better playing there. It's a bit like Mata. He's a bit like a lot of players in United's bloated squad, where they've held on to them, and it's like, well, there's no real...
like that.
There's no need for them to be there. It's just like it's like a company that have got too many employees on their payroll and they need to make redundancies. But the boss is David Brent and he likes everyone. He doesn't want to sack anyone. Yeah. So they've just got people not doing anything whilst being employed by the club.
Yeah. That's where Edward has phoned. I've sold a player already. Who have you sold? Andy, you know, Thompson. Bring him up. At 12 p.m. on the third tone, the time will be 12 p.m. Like, you haven't sold anyone, have you?
No, I
haven't sold any players.
The time sponsored
you
by you
forced into the corner. Has anyone got the time?
Yeah, his agent's on the phone. Nice, he's livid.
Dion Hugif or whatever that youth player was called that didn't play a single game.
Hugo was. Oh yeah, he went to where'd he go?
Bremen or somewhere like that? I don't know.
Somewhere, yeah, abroad. I saw people like kicking
somewhere
off about
foreign,
that, but I was like,
as he said.
Come on. Abdullah Ibrahim says, as disappointing as Friday's result was, a positive from this weekend was the way Garner bossed the midfield versus Leicester. I'd like to see him back. Yeah, James Garner, part of the Forest win over Leicester. I think it was 4-1 in the end.
He battered him.
Playing very well. He played very well against Arsenal as well. And he has been doing bits over in the East Midlands. Joe,
yeah,
Garner next season. Do you reckon he's in
next
with
season?
Shout?
Yeah, I don't like this thing of like, oh, he's playing well, so bring him back. Let him play well. Let him have a season.
It was
of playing well.
The same thing with Henderson at Sheffield United when he had a really good season and he got promoted to the Championship. Yeah. People were saying, oh, recall him whilst he's mid-season with Sheffield United. It's like, well, he's playing in the Championship, so even though he's playing well, it's a completely different league. And if you recall him midway through this season, he's not going to play every game. And Real Madrid made the same mistake with Odegaard, and he had a great season on loan at Real Sociedad. He should have probably gone on loan there the following season, but instead they brought him back, didn't play him, and now he's gone to Arsenal. And he wasn't as good as he was when he was on loan there. And players like Garner need matches in order to continue being as good as they are. And if you call him back and he's in the position where he was before, where he only gets maybe 4 or 5 games a season, there's no point.
No, and also he hasn't got the benefit of the last 10 weeks of, you know, Rangnick's coaching and tactics and stuff. So he's going to come in probably, but like you said, barely play. Give him a pre-season, bring him back. If he's good enough over pre-season, put him in the squad for next year.
Play him against AC Milan in California for 40 minutes.
Yeah,
we can all get carried away when he plays really well and think that he's the answer to all our problems, as we often do in pre-season. Also, Andres Pereira's going, isn't he? Finally to Flamengo.
40 million euros, is it?
14 million, yeah.
He's actually played reasonably well. Yeah. He scored a good goal for them the other
Bring
week.
Bring him back. Let's get him in the squad. Yeah. Well,
the issue is, I mean, this is the thing. When people say certain players are crap, there's no crap footballers that play for United. It's just that the level to be an elite footballer is so high. Pereira's not a bad footballer. He just can't do it consistently every week at the standard required for United. I mean, we saw his goals against Southampton and especially in pre-season as well. He's clearly talented, but he just isn't able to do that week in, week out, which is actually very difficult to do.
Yeah. No, I agree. Peter Jackson says, my sister was born in Old Hospital in 1994. Cheers, Peter. Mm. Hope you're well. The gamer, Pradan, says US office is better than UK office. I disagree. Sorry. Someone else saying UK office is so bad. No, it's not. It's mint. Someone else saying Yash Gami says we are the Northern Arsenal. That's a bit hard.
Should we talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, Jay?
Shall we just finish the press conference?
Didn't realise there was still more to go.
Yeah, there's not much. He's had 5 minutes, I think, with the media. I think there's an embargo bit that will be out at 10:30 tonight, if memory serves. Is an overhaul needed at United? He's put, I don't know, I don't think so. Basically goes,
I don't know. It's a bit of a vague answer, that, isn't it?
Is it? Are all the players rubbish? I don't know whether they're rubbish. It's a bit ash. Don't need to get rid of all of them.
Not really. I couldn't say.
All the players.
Couldn't say if they were shit or not.
Yeah. I mean, he says, overall, the development of the team and performances over the last couple of weeks have improved, which is what you just said. There are 2 points of criticism that we have to face. One, we wasted too many clear-cut chances, 22 shots inside the box, 10 with massive opportunities, and we should easily have been 3-0 up at half-time. It should have been 6-1 or 6-2. know where he's getting the two from. And the other one was 10 seconds before we conceded the goal. It was a perfect counter-pressing situation inside their half. We took away time, but not the ball away from then. And 8 seconds later, we were outnumbered in our box. It was a handball goal, and I'm still convinced this goal should have been disallowed. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't have allowed this situation. Again, he talks a lot of sense, and I just wanted to get your take on this, both of you. Rafael Honigstein is coming in to apparently help with the media. Yeah. Mm. I mean, is that just a positive thing? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a bit of a... I think it's better than what United currently have. And I think, was it Neil Ashton who came in as well? But from Honigstein's perspective, he's quite a well-respected German sort of football writer.
Yeah.
So I'd be interesting to know from what's in it from his perspective, because he's going to have to, I'm guessing... Well, yeah, I know it is, but it depends what you want from your life. Because Ashton used to do Sunday Supplement, I think. I'm from
Neil Ashton,
and then he went to work for Woodward. And I don't know. I just think it's like, well, great, but you've given up all your
but loads of money integrity. And working at one of the biggest clubs in the world. I wouldn't say it's giving away his integrity. Ashton's a different matter. But
from a journalistic perspective. You've basically changed careers and turned into...
Well, he's got a 6-month sabbatical from The Athletic, hasn't he? So he's going back there afterwards.
Still, I don't know.
And also, you can maybe tap into that. You can, you know, you can use it as a reference when I was at United. Or
yeah,
what
maybe
I saw.
He wants to be like, comms manager, or he maybe wants to do that sort of thing, for, you know, media manager, whatever he wants to do that for. Maybe that's what he wants to do. Who knows?
Mm.
Loads of money.
Can't
well,
all be
on.
Private eye, can we?
No, exactly.
Also, on Varane, he says... He talks about there's no issues there because he came off the Varane. Up until he was substituted, he did very well with Harry Maguire against the Championship team, but an ambitious Championship team. Mm-hmm. Also goes on to say that Varane will be available basically for tomorrow's game.
Good, that's good.
Telles missed the cup game because he tested positive, and unfortunately, the same thing happened today with Fred. That's why he'll be missing from tomorrow's game and possibly even the game against Southampton.
Fred.
We should, I mean, I know we say this about any team, but you should be okay with the players we've got available. Looking at Burnley and the way they're struggling, you think that if we are missing one or two, we should be all right.
I said
somewhere.
The same thing under Solskjaer.
I know. But I don't know. I look at Burnley, the bottom of the table for a reason.
Yeah, I think we'll be
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Right, we'll go on to Cristiano Ronaldo because I know you're chomping at the bit to get involved in that discussion.
Riveting.
Also, Daniel Kirk, who's been a member of the Academy for 4 months, thanks for your support, says, hi, Jay, hope you're good. I use a wheelchair and love the channel. With Fred being out with Pogba, and Bruno get a few games in a row together? I hope so. I wouldn't mind seeing them play together.
Who?
Pogba and Bruno.
Yeah. I think they probably will.
Why did you say that all threatening?
I just didn't hear what you said.
Who?
Who are you talking to?
No, Pogba because- who?
Yeah, I think we will see it if Pogba's fit. I mean, Rangnick showed that the other day, didn't he? He likes them two together when possible. It's his first chance he's had to play Pogba, and he played him straight away from the start. So
Played well, didn't he, Pogba?
I thought he was all right,
Paul LaBeal.
I thought he was typically wasteful, though.
Yeah. Right. But that's the thing with Pogba. I mean, he's not popular amongst United's match-going fan base, but he's... United are a much better team when he's playing. There's no doubt about that.
And he's playing well.
Yeah, and he is a good footballer. It sounds really obvious, but he does improve the squad. And I think the issue is, I mean, if he might live at the end of the season, we don't know. But I think the thing with Pogba that's more frustrating with me is the constant thing with his agent, and it's so tiring, the whole back and forth. And it's just, I don't know. I think if he wants to stay at United, then he's just got to get his head down and not say anything, really. But I think he's just going to carry on whilst he's here, to be honest.
Yeah,
that whole thing.
I've given up on the prospect of him staying. I don't think he'll stay. But I do think you need to play Paul Pogba. I think we need him.
The whole thing's a myth as well.
James said, we're a better team with him in it for me.
The whole thing's a myth that he came here because he wanted to return to his boyhood.
Oh, don't give me the whole prodigal son returns drivel. He left United when he was, 20 or 19 or whatever, because he didn't want to stay here. It's that simple. He could have stayed here, but if he'd loved United, that's what he'd have done. But he didn't, which is it's okay. You don't have to love Manchester United if that's not the way you've been brought up or whatever. Went to Juve, and then we paid 89 million quid to get him back, and people make out like he's returning to his dream boyhood club. It's just nonsense.
I don't really buy the same thing with Ronaldo either.
No, I don't either. Andrew Naker says...
That was a cue there. You missed out.
Sorry. Yeah. I was confused. I was looking at the Andrew Naker super chat that I'm going to read out. Simon Stone from the BBC always sounds like he's under duress, or in extreme pain when asking questions. It's all so serious and bleak with him. Mm. I like Simon Stone. Yeah. And I think, to be fair, it's horrible in the press conferences. It is. And he does ask the questions you want him to ask a lot of the time. And I think sometimes you have to word it like you're asking, a small child to put down the knife.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you have to be and you only get a certain
number of questions as well.
Yeah.
And by the time you've asked the question, there's hundreds of aggregator accounts that have already written up your answer anyway, so it's pointless really going to them.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I think Sam Stone always does a good job. And whenever I've been to press conferences and he's been there, he's always seemed to have a decent rapport with the managers, which isn't easy. Because a lot of them, especially when you look at Jose towards the end and Van Gaal, they just, you know, they don't want to know. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the wheels have come off, but they're looking a bit shaky, aren't they?
Yeah.
His return to the club, as you're referencing. He's sort of, the goals have dried up a little bit. He's missing penalties. He's getting blamed for a lot. Start with you, Joe. I mean, let's just cut to the chase. Do you think it's time to drop him?
I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to leave him out for a couple of games.
Okay.
Because, like, I think it's something, if he doesn't score tomorrow, it's his longest goal drought in 10 years.
Really?
In the league, yeah. And I just think, like...
See, at Manchester United, we're constantly breaking records.
Yeah, what we need to do is separate the fact that he got us through single-handedly in the Champions League, which he did, and he's playing shit now, which he is. Like, it's not just because you were great in the Champions League games means you should just play no matter how shit you are.
Yeah.
Like, we looked at Rashford and we've said it. We're huge fans of Marcus Rashford. We both said it's probably time to leave him out for a couple of games. We've said the same with Maguire. We said it's time for him to drop out for a few games. Same with Luke Shaw. Like, Ronaldo isn't as bad as Maguire or Luke Shaw or probably even Rashford was. But just because he scored a few goals before doesn't mean he's playing well enough to keep his place now. And the other thing is, just because you say you want him dropped doesn't mean you're saying he was a waste of money, he never should have come back, he's shit, he should never play again. They're two different things. He's playing so poorly at the moment, like his touch, and it's not even the penalty miss really for me. His touch, his short passing, when he gets involved in the build-up, he often slows it down. He doesn't get on the end of things. He's not in the box half the time when we're trying to put the ball in there. Like, they're the things for me that worry me. And I think you shouldn't be above dropping someone just because it's Ronaldo. Like, we're all scared of him, like he's some pharaoh that's come down and cursed and gifted us this godly presence. He's just a bloke with a Man United shirt on trying to score goals and failing to do so. If he's not playing well enough, let someone else have a go.
You say that, and I understand what you're saying. I get it, I do. I'm slightly playing devil's advocate here, though.
Yeah.
Is there a case that, though, he isn't just another player? He is someone who's in a different, almost stratosphere to the likes of Marcus Rashford and Harry Maguire. I know those are big players in nationals or something. Whereas, if you drop someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, they don't react to the same way that a Maguire even or a Rashford does. He will spit his dummy out. He will cause problems for you. And it will become overriding topic. That's, you know.
What have we done here then? Sold our soul to the devil? Like, what we've done as a club?
That's what
where
I mean
you go,
it.
Oh, you own Manchester United.
You saw
now.
The Brentford substitution where he publicly, like, no, not covering his mouth.
No.
Obviously having a go.
Yeah. Why did you bring me off?
Why did you bring me off? And doing it for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like Marcus, I think, scores 4 minutes after Ronaldo's come off. And he's still talking about it during the goal celebrations. So it's obvious, like, with Ronaldo, you get that. You get this massive personality.
He did that
you get
when he was at United before. I mean, the last season he was at United, he moaned the whole way through it and said he wants to.
Everyone knew he wants to go to Real Madrid.
Champions League final. You know, he wasn't at his best that last season when he went to Real Madrid. And even then when he came back, The realistic expectations that were placed upon him that he was going to score 30, 40 goals a season and he was going to be the same player that United had 10 years before just was never going to happen. He's not the same player that United had before. He's not going to be someone that's going to run down the wing and, you know, score loads of free kicks. His free kick record is terrible, yet he still takes them. His issues around, you know, like he was playing again, like he missed the penalty. I think the issue is with Ronaldo, and this is the reason why Juventus sold him. Everything has to be done through him. And that's fine when he's scoring 20, 30, 40 goals a season. But when he's not doing that, the whole team suffers as a result of it. And United just about managed okay at the start of the season because he was scoring goals. But as soon as he stops doing that, then the whole thing just collapses.
I mean, his record this season, on paper,
it's
not bad. I think since he's been at United, is it 24 goals? 24 games for United, 14 goals?
Yeah. I mean, which isn't bad. But you know, what is that, 6-6 in the Champions League?
Yeah.
And then 6-5,
I think, and 8-8 in the Premier League, sorry. So
in how many games in the Premier League?
In 18 games in the Premier League. So,
I'm not saying he's terrible, but I'm saying he hasn't scored in a while in the Premier League, and he's not playing very well. Like,
so in answer sort of to move on from my question slightly, but stay on the topic, do you think that if Ralf Rangnick drops Ronaldo, that is... Even if he needs to be dropped, like his form isn't great or whatnot, if he drops Ronaldo, do you think Ralf Rangnick can handle that? Do you think he can still maintain sort of dressing room harmony, handle Ronaldo, handle some of the other fires that seem to be popping up,
yeah,
and we can be okay?
Yeah, I do think so.
Yeah.
And you're partly saying it because that's just the talking point, so I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be tied to this just car with like a brick on the pedal,
yeah,
and you have to stay on it no matter where it's going. Like, I like Ronaldo. You know, brought me some of the best memories I've ever had watching football. Love that he's come back. Happy that he has. Don't think he's ruined the team. Don't buy into all this shit that we never should have got him. I think he's been a success so far. But if he's been playing badly for, you know, this many games in a row, and Cavani's back fit, and we've got Marcus who can come in there, and we've got, you know, other players that can do that job, I just think give him a couple of games off. I'm not saying drop him for the rest of the season. We've also got 3 games in 8 days, and he's 37.
I will get to you in a minute, James. Let me just go through some of the comments, because it's a massive debate going on in the comments. So I appreciate loads of you getting involved in the chat. It says Joseph Robinson says Ibra, Cavani, Ronaldo, United getting players on big wages who are out to pasture, no future in it at all. Then Emmanuel Banja says, can't believe you all want to drop CR7. Alex Reeves says he would easily score 40 goals this season if we were playing well.
But that's you can't say that.
Yeah, but this is the
if we were playing well, you've got
literally it's back and forth with so many different people, so many different opinions. Ram Mohan says his knees are done, he shouldn't be taking free kicks. John Whitehead, which is true, this point, we are going to need a 9 in the summer. I agree with that one. Yeah. Frost says, drop him for who? We don't have Mason at the minute, or, you know, for the foreseeable future, if we ever see him again. We, you know, Cavani's injured quite a lot as well.
Yeah.
Have we got an out-and-out striker other than Ronaldo and Cavani?
Cavani's back, isn't he now?
Yeah, sorry, he is back.
So I would say for Cavani.
He's got the same issue as Ronaldo, whereby he's not going to play every game. And as we've seen, when he goes and plays for Uruguay, he gets his hair cut and comes back after like 2 weeks, he's not going to have the same stamina to be able to play for all those games, and you're only going to get 20, 25 games a season out of him.
But the thing is, I'm not saying that's Ronaldo done. I'm saying for the next game, start someone else. And even if Ronaldo comes on after 60
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, the issue with Ronaldo.
Just to clarify for people.
He's not going to play every game this season.
It's really annoying for me that we couldn't have Cavani against Middlesbrough, because I would have dropped Ronaldo for that game.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd have spat his dummy out. If you go, it's an FA Cup against a fourth round game against the Championship side. Sit this one out, Ronnie. We need you for the Premier League. I don't think he's going to spit his dummy out there. Also, Cavani, I think, could have done a job against Middlesbrough.
Yeah, me too.
And obviously, playing Ronaldo.
He didn't play against, was it Villa in the round before?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think he'd have an issue with that. And you sell it to him as, listen, you know, you're here for bigger things than early rounds of the FA Cup against Championship opposition. When we get to the quarters or the semis, you know, you bring in then. Andrew Naker says, difference is Ronnie is almost guaranteed to find his form. He's earned the right to play through bad form. Rashford hasn't. Harry not even close. This is the thing, though. Ronnie's almost guaranteed to find his form, but sooner or later you get to an age where that guarantee runs out.
Mm.
Because if he was 29, you go, yeah, he's good at, but then you get to an end and you go, is this the beginning of the decline? That's what worries me. I'm not saying it is, but he's 37.
Yeah.
So you do think, like, well, is this the time when we're going to see him really sort of start to, or stop, sorry, getting the numbers that we used to see? Benjamin Matthias says, realise Sir Bobby is the last survivor of Munich. That was a Munich remembrance yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Man of Culture says, Cavani should start. I mean, this is part of the problem. For me,
yeah.
I'll be honest with you right now. I would stick with him,
yeah.
The reason I think that is, I understand what you're saying, and it's true what you're saying. But I just feel with everything that's going on with Ralf Rangnick and everything as well, and the fact that we haven't got an out and out nine we can rely on week in week out anyway.
Yeah,
I think dropping him causes more problems for Ralf Rangnick than it solves. I think it's just another drama he's got to deal with. And Ronnie spits his dummy out, kicks off. When you bring him back in, you might have him disgruntled. We're already hearing these clicks forming. That just adds to that. Do you know what I mean? And I just think it's going to just be another sort of just soap opera, I think you used the term earlier.
Yeah.
Another soap opera that we've got. And I think we can afford to keep playing him, because I still think if you play him to the end of the season, he's going to get you in the Premier League another at least 5 or 6 goals or something. Mm. So it's not like, you know, you're playing someone who's rubbish and
keep
sticking with him. I think he will get you goals. I just don't know if we're going to see the same Ronaldo.
I don't think as well he respects him as much as he did with Solskjaer, because with Solskjaer would drop him for certain games. But I think when Rangnick's come in, I think part of the reason why Ronaldo came back was because Solskjaer was manager, and you know they had that connection there. But with Rangnick, I'm not sure. I think there's just certain things going on there whereby, because he doesn't have the same authority, it's difficult for him to stand up to players like Ronaldo. And personally, I would drop him, but then at the same time, it's a difficult
one. I mean,
there's pros and cons to both.
Yeah,
both
everyone, people are giving me pelters now, so some people agree with some people giving pelters, saying, you know, this isn't Ronaldo FC, and I understand that. Yeah. And in an ideal world, you go, he's not playing well. Cavani always does his job when he comes in. Put Cavani in, drop Ronnie. But there's just bigger factors to consider here. Yeah. And I think you're right, James, in what you're saying about the respect thing. I don't know if Ronaldo was looking at... When I look back to that Brentford game, people go, and you said it, and I said it on Twitter, Ronnie's done this before, spitting his dummy out when he's been subbed. But when he got subbed against, I can't remember, was it Arsenal or whatever, in the end of the 2009 season? He threw his boots down and whatever. He sat in his seat and he was sulking and all this. But he didn't go up to Fergie, grab him and go, what are you doing taking me
arguing with the manager.
Do you know what I mean? And there was a little bit of back and forth with Fergie. I remember the Wigan game where he missed the chance and Fergie had to go at him and he shouted back to him. So it was a little bit of that. But this was more blatant. This was me sitting with you, having a go at you.
Yeah, we're both the manager of this team.
Like, shouting at you for a while about why you've just submit, even after Marcus has scored and we've got a free goal cushion or whatever it was at the time.
Do you not think that shows, though, that the change in player power over that time, though?
Because
you know, 10 years ago... I mean, obviously, there was players like Ronaldo and Messi were just coming into their sort of thing, but football now, the players like Pogba and with super agents like Raiola as well, the players have so much more power over the managers that it's almost gone too far the other way now.
I think as well, you know, you mentioned there about... Like, if you're a manager that's been at a club for ages, then you can just rule with the iron fist. Still in this, even in this era, I think you can get away with that. And you can go, right, we'll just get rid of him or just drop him or whatever. But if you're a new manager who's just come in and you're dealing with all these egos and everything, you have to sort of pick
your battles. To be fair to Ragnick as well, he's never dealt with a player like Ronaldo before, really.
He said to Raul, didn't he, when he was at
Schalke,
but it was Raul who was in his... I know Ronaldo's in his mid-30s, whatever, but it was Raul in decline, and it wasn't...
Yeah. And it's still Schalke, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't like Raul was, you know, this massive
2001,
superstar.
2001, was it?
Yeah, like that Ronaldo is now still. Raul wasn't like that at that level, and Schalke weren't at a level or getting the attention that Manchester United get. This was... I'd argue it was the... I know Messi and everyone went to PSG, but I'd argue that Ronaldo to United was the signing of the summer in terms of attention. I don't mean...
Oh, definitely.
In terms of the way the media and everyone...
Of course.
Not just here in Manchester, but across the world. This was the big story.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's so... It not working out has become a big story. Yeah.
See, like I said, I wouldn't go as far as to say it hasn't worked out.
All right, okay.
I did say it not working out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that's it. And when you look at those numbers we mentioned, 6 goals in the Champions League, you know, let's get it right. If he helps us get past Atletico,
and that's the thing.
More than worth the mither. Yeah, get to the last 8 of the Champions League.
If you drop him for a couple of matches, I am playing him every single minute of every single Champions League game we have left for the rest of the season, no matter whether that's 2, 4, 6, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
He's no doubt about that.
The Champions League thing, I agree with. I think he's got to play in the Champions League. I think if you drop him in the Champions League,
he'd quit.
He'd get on a flight and go home.
Yeah.
It's the same with
him. Would he go back to Portugal or wherever? He'd just be like, I am not.
United wouldn't have won the Europa League without Zlatan Ibrahimovic playing in those games, because your Rostovs, your St. Etienne's, those teams that United actually, you know, struggled against, especially those earlier rounds. You need experienced players like that know how to win football matches. And if you take Ronaldo out of that squad, the reason why United didn't win anything under Solskjaer was because they didn't have a player like that in that team that could win stuff. Especially, you know, if you played Ronaldo in the Europa League final in Gdansk, United would win that game. Yeah. If you played him in the semi-finals against Chelsea, the United lost against Sevilla and all those other teams, United would have won a trophy.
Yeah, I agree.
Hit that like button. And someone's just pointed out, Rob M says, 1,700 watching. Let's get these likes up the effing paddock.
Let's get to 1,000 likes, easy. There's almost that sort of like real top end, like Nadal the other week in the Australian Open, 2 sets down, but he's just got that... Won't give up.
Supporting him wearing your tennis attire today.
Yeah, all-time great sort of thing about like Ronaldo.
Just with everything that's going on, with the Jesse situation, the Martial situation, I feel like I'm missing something. I think there was another one that I might have forgotten about. The Ronaldo one as well.
Yeah.
Do you feel for Ralph Ragnick? Or do you think he's making some of these problems himself? Or do you think this is just part and parcel of being Manchester United manager?
I don't think he's making the problems himself, but I don't feel for him. You're the manager of the most scrutinised and watched club in the world.
I don't really think he handled the Martial thing very well.
Do not?
No.
Go on then.
In what way? No, I'm not. Go on.
The way that he sort of said it, and I can't remember specifically what it was that he said in his press conference, but it was something along the lines of, he was basically using it as like a deflection tactic away from what had happened during the game. So I can't remember. I think United, was it a draw? Or I can't remember specifically what the result was, but I don't think United won. And then in the press conference, he was like, he said that thing about Martial, that it was like, I don't know what he said or something like that to try and move away from the fact United got beaten, almost basically blamed it on Martial.
So the context of the press conference,
I just saw
the quote and thought, okay, I believe him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see him. And then Martial, obviously, his agent or whatever, come out with
but
it.
But I think apart from that, I think in his press conferences especially, he's a better talker than Solskjaer is. Because I think the issue Solskjaer had was that he almost went too far the other way. So you had Mourinho on the one hand, who wasn't afraid, towards the end anyway. I know people say that, you know, he did actually support the Glazers at the start, but that pre-season tour where it all unravelled and he just threw his toys out of the pram, basically, Solskjaer never did that. And even towards the end, he was still sort of pushing and going too far the other way almost, where he's almost been too nice. Whereas Ragnik is actually explaining his stuff. He's not sort of doing that thing, that sort of nervous smile that Solskjaer would do after United would get beaten. He's a bit more clear in his sort of decision-making and explaining it, which is fine when United win. But I think after the Middlesbrough game and other results, I don't know.
I think that's a massive trait for all managers, though. Even the successful ones, even the Klopps and the Pep Guardiolas, is like when they're winning, press conferences for them and for the press are a doddle. And when they're losing, some of them get prickly. Like Fergie, just some of them just start banning people.
Yeah.
Some of them get really, Klopp gets really awkward.
Yeah, over just ridiculous.
I've been on the wrong end of a Pep Guardiola being awkward. Yeah, like they all do it when things aren't going
right.
Do you
remember when Klopp had that massive go at Des Kelly for no reason?
Yeah, just rant, he asked him an innocuous question. And I hate when managers do that as well. What do you think?
Yeah.
And it's like, no one cares what I think. I'm asking you, you're the manager.
This is a press conference.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Then Dean Doris. Why are you asking that question for?
Yeah.
I remember, right, the first time I ever got to ask a question in a press conference was with Jose, and I was dead nervous because it was Europa League. It was like a free for all because you just had loads of press turning up.
Yeah. Was it like a mix zone?
No, it was it was at Carrington, but it was in the other room, not the normal room, so it was in the bigger one. So we're all there, and I'm thinking, right, I've got a question I want to ask him, and I thought this is my chance because it's not like the Premier League one where it's like 1-1-1-1. That's it. Moving on to the dailies. So I thought, right, I'm asking about, I think it was about Martial. I was just asking about Martial. He'd played like a few good games, said he's back in form. You know, what do you see his preferred position, down the middle, or he's been playing well on the left? Do you think he could do a job there or whatever? Fine. Pretty standard answer. I've been impressed with him. Da, 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 da. We always know he's got capabilities of that. I'm not surprised, but I am happy. That sort of thing. So I'm like, phew.
Got away
didn't get shouted at, because it would have stayed with me because I like Jose, especially at that time, and I'm obviously a United fan. So I was like, guy next to me from foreign press asked a follow up question on Martial, just another innocuous one. He scored one in three. Do you think he can? And he just goes ballistic at him, and I mean, absolutely tears him a new one. How many questions about Andy Martial? Why don't you ask me about Marcus Rashford? Oh, you want to know about his Andy Martial? And I'm like edging away from this guy, like.
We're not from the same place. No.
It is honestly. I have seen massively experienced journalists been almost like quivering from a press conference. It can be so daunting.
The JK and Joel story that you told me about.
Oh yeah, Fergie, when he banned Fergie, shuts out one of our reporters in the middle of the press conference because we used to years ago. Remember when Beckham got hit with a boot?
Yeah,
right. Fergie's boot this boot at Beckham. Beckham cut his eye. So when I was in radio, the presenters, the DJs on the radio show, they did leave our Bex alone thing. And they went down to Carrington with a banner, leave Bex alone. Like, just messing about anyway. Yeah. You know what breakfast radio's like. He's just mucking about, innit? So Fergie found
sound effects.
Do you know what I mean? Just that nonsense. Yeah. And then Fergie got wind of it. So he waited till the press conference started. And then he found our reporter. And he just pointed at him and went, you can go. You're on a 3-month ban.
Love it.
And then he went, and you want to know why? You can ask them two jokers. And then the worst thing is, all your recording stuff is in the front. Oh. So he's had to get up, walk to the front in front of everyone.
So his face is about a foot away from things.
Lean over, pick up his, recording, and then sort of back and then Fergie's just like...
Fantastic.
It's horrible, horrible. Fantastic. Colin Wilmot, who's been a member of the Academy for 5 months. Let's be real, lads. Ronnie is that good. It's always going to be his fault, whether he scores or not. Top show again, lads. Thanks for your support, Colin.
Thank you very much.
Scarlet Davio says, we are forced to play someone who scored one goal in 2 months because the outrage anybody else would be abused, but Ronnie gets a free pass. And I think it's always going to be a bit of a debate with Ronnie. And I think, it's going to rumble on until he starts.
He's got his own supporters as well. That don't even follow, that just follow him everywhere.
Yeah, like Ronaldo, 300
million
Ronaldo
followers
FC.
On Twitter, on Instagram.
He broke record. Did he break a record for the most the other day or something? We've got a picture here of the 22-23 leaked kit. So I don't know if this is official. This is what we're seeing there. You can see it's a footy.
Not a fan.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't like the pinstripes.
Mm. I don't like how narrow the stripes are, personally. Yeah. I like the collar.
It doesn't look real to me.
I mean, I don't know how real that is. It's leaked, so make your own mind up about that. Sorry, 400 million followers Cristiano Ronaldo's got.
They normally change, though, before the end of the season. Anyway, yeah. Do you remember the third shirt that had the Trinity statue on it?
Yeah.
And the leaked one looked terrible because it looked like it was made of, like, Play-Doh. Yeah. And then the real one was actually not bad, so...
Right. Wally of the Weeks. Also, I might have missed your super chat, Jason. Sorry, it says just play Ronnie in the Champions League games. Yeah, we spoke about that.
Wally of the Week.
Nadine Doris.
Oh, you nicked mine. Do you know what then? I'll go with Kwasi Kwarteng. You said that fraud's
actually,
not a crime.
No, you can have Nadine Doris.
What? He said fraud. Right. He said fraud's not a crime. He went, he was like, this is another Tory moron.
So every week, Wally of the Week is you having a go at the Conservatives, isn't
it? Well, no, I have a go at Labour sometimes as well. Yeah. Keir Starmer's been my Wally of the Week in the past. Let's not forget that. Although I do
Conservatives.
Have, nicely done.
Have that one for your back pages. Hey.
Yeah, but Kwasi Kwarteng
did
an interview. And this is the problem you've got like with politicians. When they do an interview and they're given facts that they can't argue with, then they try and create their own facts. So he said, well, Boris Johnson lied in House of Commons when he said crime's down because crime's gone up. So Kwasi Kwarteng, well, he wasn't talking about all crime. He was talking about he wasn't talking about fraud. That's not real crime. He was just talking about, you know, personal injury.
Not real.
Not real crime. You tell some old lady who's been robbed of a pension by some fraudster that that's not real crime.
Not real crime.
Because, you know, it's not personal injury, whatever that means.
It's not real crime because their mates do that.
Yeah. So
robbing shops and like beating people up.
That's
their
real
mates
crime.
Don't do that. That's real crime.
Honestly,
but
pathetic.
Ruining people's lives with fraud, that isn't real because we do that all the time.
That was the Dominic Raab thing. He said that it was a retrospective crime, so they're not investigating.
Not investigating.
In the past.
Yeah, we don't investigate crimes.
Welcome
to the
future crime squad.
Yeah, what is this? The minority report. Yeah.
The
Hang
only
on
way
minute.
To solve the crime is to prevent the crime.
There's going
to
be a shooting next week in Weest. Yeah. Get down there.
I ain't even done it yet. Lock him up, boys.
The sea was closed. Dominic Raab!
I couldn't believe it because the sea was closed. What?
I didn't even heard that.
You know, Dominic Raab?
Go on. It was like when the whole Afghanistan thing was kicking off.
Because he didn't respond to like.
He was on holiday whilst Afghanistan was being taken over.
Yeah,
and he had loads of phone calls and he went, oh, I couldn't have been on the beach because the sea was closed.
The sea was closed. That's like,
that's
no.
up, with there, up there with I don't sweat.
Yeah.
Isn't it? In terms of just preposterous bullshit.
Let's just say the most outrageous lie, and because it's so outrageous, hope that it would get away with it.
King Canute.
Yeah.
It's not as if you were like the foreign secretary at the time or anything like that. Or was it? Yeah, foreign secretary
at the time. And he, you know, as he often did, he failed upwards. He's now deputy prime minister.
But that's because there's a picture of him when he was younger with some muscles. So everyone thinks he's ace. Isn't there? That's why people like him, because he looks like a prime minister.
I don't want to get too political, but have you seen like the new head of comms he's appointed as well? His latest quotes.
I don't want to see it.
Right. Okay. Go on. Who's going to be your?
Mine's not nearly as.
Go on. You can keep it to football.
Just the ref from the other night not giving that fucking on ball. Because regardless of how bad, how porous we were defence at that moment, or how how many chances we missed, whatever. That is a handball. If you're in the box trying to bring the ball down in order to shoot at the goal and you have to use your hand to control it because your first touch is so shit, that is a handball. Anyone who's ever played or watched football knows that instinctively. So whether it's the rules or the ref or whoever it is, it's an absolute piss take.
Even the Middlesbrough fans, I was sat right next to the away fans and they sort of half celebrated it because they just thought it was going to get ruled out.
It's literally like, it's obviously a handball. You can't, no way should you be able to control the ball with your hand because it's going out for a goal kick and then it's still not be handball. Just pathetic. And as much as that is a little bit sour grapes blaming everyone else, but fuck me, come on.
You are allowed though to criticise the performance, say that we should have took our chances and be unhappy with that decision. It's not like there's a finite amount of anger you can have, or you know it's like the mutually exclusive. Both things can be true, and it was a bad decision and we still should have.
It's either a bad decision or a bad rule. I don't care which it is. That is handball and everyone knows that's handball.
Just a quick one. Sorry, I've missed a couple of our super chat. Resonating Silence says, do you think a permanent manager will accompany the team for pre-season? That's a very good question, that.
Yeah, probably.
You think so? I think the one thing we've got to do is get him in early doors in the summer.
Yeah. Oh, imagine if we do last minute.
Yeah.
Like deadline day. Yeah.
Mike Phelan's taking over the team for the time being. Yeah. Like, what is going on here? Listen, thanks to everyone.
I was
going to
say, actually, You can have Nadine Doris. I'll have the lad.
Oh, sorry.
The guy on Question Time that was the philosophy student that tried to take on the this
with his pieces of paper, and he was like the yellow card system.
And it was like a philosophy student. The audience at Question Time, you have like insane people that go on there, right? Mm. There was like this epidemiologist or scientist that was like talking about vaccines,
who literally helped come up with like the cure to Ebola. Really? And things like that, and has like come up with or helped study HIV and treatments for it.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't get more elite than he is.
Yeah.
And you had some kid in the audience with some pieces of paper he made some notes on from Google, who claimed to academia was he's a philosophy graduate.
And also, when they asked, okay, what's your evidence? It was like a random select committee from 1999. Yeah.
and then he said something like, and he's the man that he created the vaccine. And before the epidemiologist got involved, Fiona Bruce went, no, he didn't.
This epidemiologist, it was like he was doing the Tim face from The Office where he was just going and like
the worst thing was camera. he was so calm, and then at one point he went, and I'm sorry, but that's just nonsense. And you're like, oh bro.
See, that's all right though. I think sometimes you need to get knocked down a couple of pegs. Yeah. That's happened to all of us. Mm. You go into something, you're not prepared, someone takes the piss out of you, and you go, you know what? I deserve that because I'm a knobhead.
You can see the guy as well. You've always got that split second where you've got two choices there.
Yeah.
You can either back down.
Back down or double down.
Down and just go,
they're your options.
Okay, yeah. Or you can go, no.
Yeah.
And he went, no.
Back down.
I've got my piece of paper. I've got my philosophy degree.
The worst
degree.
Thing is, he probably thought he won that argument. And all his mates reckon he probably did as well.
Yeah. I just hope he went on Twitter, because there's times when, I know Twitter can be horrible, there's times when I kind of like it.
Like, there's been a few on Question Time, like the guy that was moaning about paying, like, was it more tax or whatever it was?
And he said at 80 grand he was in the top bottom 50% of the country. Like, what are you on about? No, you're not.
The other guy was terrified of Jeremy Corbyn's socialism, saying that it was going to ruin the country or whatever it was, like saying he was terrified of his socialist policies or something like that.
Do you know what I love on Twitter?
What?
I love it, right? And sometimes
you love arguing with people.
No, I don't. I don't. I've stopped doing that.
Oh.
When I love on Twitter when someone on the chase takes a low offer.
Oh, yeah.
The outrage. Yeah. On Twitter, is unreal.
Look
for
at
that.
You, dickhead! Like, that person
will trend for a good 3 hours of just abuse because they've took like -4 grand on a quiz show. It's amazing.
I had an IT teacher that went on the chase and he lost, and everyone took the piss out of him.
Really, Paul? Yeah. Paul?
No, coming back from our
mate Paul Rancaster used to come on the channel. Went on air, didn't he? Jamie Burton says, "Ref here, read Law 12. Not deliberate, unnatural, or goal scored." Jamie, we don't want facts or laws. Yeah, we want bluster and outrage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jamie, Joe here, no refereeing qualifications.
Yeah.
Is a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
But any hand movement towards a ball is natural. Unless, like, some hand flies in, not attached to a body, from the crowd and touches it, how could it not be natural? So the whole natural thing is bullshit.
It's nice to see we found Michael Cox's burner account in the live chat.
I've got a journalism degree, so I know about these things.
What degree do you have, Joe?
Yeah.
I've got a degree in, the streets.
The University of Life.
The University of Life.
School of Hard Knocks.
He's thrown a kettle over a pub. What have you ever done?
Anyway.
Right, that's enough of that nonsense. James, give a plug to the fanzine.
Right, United We Stand. It's on sale. Every home game. Be on sale for the Southampton game and the Brighton game.
When's the new... Is it new issue time yet? Or?
2 weeks, I think. And then it'll be out for that. And also, I'm on the radio tonight, so 8 till 9, Shock Radio. Do a world music show on there. So, give
what's
it
the?
Listen.
Is it just DAB and all that, or is it frequency?
We're online only.
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Joe Smith, 93. We want to where to find your mush. Mm-hmm. Me and thee will be on the watch along tomorrow, won't we?
Yes, mate.
And we'll have the preview out in the morning. So lots of us. And if you're asking about Stephen House and Adam McCullough, they will be on the channel tomorrow, I think, giving us their post-match reaction.
Yes.
I think Steve's a bit poorly sick, but I think he's getting better. Maca is about. Don't worry, you'll be hearing from him.
They're just,
about
in a cage in the corner that you can't see over there.
You know what I mean? They don't do Mondays like very often. Bless them. So, don't worry about that. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Big thanks to our sponsors as well.
What?
Our sponsors?
Yeah, big time. Thanks, lads. Link in the description. Surfshark, check them out.
Thank you. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe. Let's get 700,000 subscribers by the end of the season. Go and check out the merch as well. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.